At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know, our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Vredestein Pinza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com, what we get there, unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com is the way that tire buying should be. Welcome in, kids. It's draft day. Right? It's draft day, which is a big thing. And tonight we got great draft coverage right here on Fox Sports Radio, starting at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, brought to you by Express Pros. You know, most people think the draft starts at 2, right? Because whoever the Washington Commanders take then sets us in a path of what quarterback goes next, what a quarterback goes next, et cetera, et cetera. And that's probably mostly accurate, but I think the draft starts obviously at 1, not just because Chicago hasn't officially made the pick, but because it does set us on this course, and it's a very unique first overall pick in the draft. By my estimation, Caleb Williams is the first of his kind. The first of his kind. We've seen other transfer quarterbacks go number one overall. We've seen other transfer quarterbacks who played for Lincoln Riley go number one overall. We've seen other Oklahoma quarterbacks, other USC quarterbacks. We've seen guys who have great years win a Heisman Trophy and then sort of disappointing years in their final year in college, go number one overall and have varying degrees of success. What we haven't seen is the generation of players that have never been told no before. Never been told no before. And that's what happens when you throw a lot of money at people. It's really hard to tell them no because you financially, you have skin in the game. Remember, this is Caleb Williams who didn't play his high school senior year because it was a COVID year. And despite that, he's come out and said, hey, I thought I should have started day one. Like, I was really mad I didn't start day one when Spencer Rattler was there ahead of him. And Spencer Rattler at the time was thought to be the number one quarterback prospect in college in America. Yeah, it took him some time to beat him out and to get that opportunity. But the fact is that the reason Caleb Williams thought for sure he'd get to start and play right away is, well, he's never been told no before. Then his coach leaves, and if you remember, again, the timeline of it, when the initial portal window opened, he didn't transfer right away. It took a long time to get that deal done. What does that mean? It was a bidding war. And unlike quarterbacks in previous eras. I know that Joe Burrow didn't have to sit out, but Joe Burrow also hadn't played, you know, and that's why he got his degree at Ohio State. But guys had to sit out previously when they transferred in. Couldn't play right away. He didn't. You know why? Because we don't tell these guys no anymore. He doesn't, I mean, like, listen, I don't think the story landed well, and I don't think he would ever do it. But the fact is, he would make more money staying in college than he would playing next year in the NFL. Now, the reason that you want to play in the NFL is you want to get through that third year and get your second contract, because that's generational wealth, the likes of which college sports to this point cannot compete against. He's not the first transfer quarterback. He's not the first quarterback to get paid. He's not the first quarterback to have great success followed by a disappointing season. He's not. But if you factor in all of those things together, and then you have the eccentricities of the fingernail polish, the things written on him, the use of social media, some of the confidence bordering on arrogant statements. This is a different generation of dude. A different generation of dude. And that's what he represents. That's what he represents. Remember, Eli and Peyton Manning came from wealth. That's the first family of football. Archie is an amazing dude. He's really well respected. Andrew Luck came from wealth. But Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, you name the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, pick the number one overall pick. That's a bit of quarterback. Successful fairy, doesn't matter. They came from different levels of the economy. But the difference is with this one, it's not Caleb's dad that has money. It's not his family that has money. Caleb has money. And I'll take from Chris Carter that says, Chris Carter always said, money doesn't change you. It makes you more of who you really are. And then you factor in the old Mike Tyson expression saying, which was, if you want to see real tragedy, give an 18, 19-year-old a limitless budget and not have their parents around and see what happens. Now, he does have his parents in his life, but they haven't been with him for the last 3 years. And he does have millions of dollars, and he's basically been allowed to do whatever he wants with it. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, things are going to get hard for the first time around, and he's never been told no. He's never been told what you're doing is wrong. He's going to be on his own. He's going to be professional. He's going to be viewed as a guy who is arrogant or super, super confident. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this works out. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have a quarterback-deprived city. You have a city that Chicago has a lot of amazing things. Despite the fact the weather sucks, even in the summer, it might be the best summer city in America because everybody comes to Chicago to go to the lake. I hope you understand that. Like in New York, I love New York summers. A little hot, smells a little bit of urine, but on the weekend, you can park anywhere on the streets because people go either to Connecticut or upstate or to a lake, or they go out to the island, they go to Montauk, they go down the Jersey Shore, they scatter. Right? You go throughout all of these cities. Miami's too hot in the summer. Texas too hot in the summer. Chicago might be the best summer city in America. They have great sports fans. They have some great tradition with the Bears. It looks like they're going to keep the Bears in Chicago, right by the water. All those things are good. They no longer have the curse of the Billy Goat, no curses with the White Sox, no curses with the Bears. And though the Bulls aren't currently a championship caliber team, they do have the Michael Jordan legacy. Like all of these things, it's a great sports town. It's an amazing place to live. You know what they haven't had? They haven't had a franchise quarterback. So you walk in with a confidence not previously seen. Right? Because nothing gives you as much confidence as I got $10 million in the bank. If I fail, I'm rich. I'm good. Right? You walk in with the, he's not a West Coast guy, right? He's from D.C. But the perception is you come in from SC, paint and fingernail polish, do things a little differently, walk differently, talk differently. That gets viewed, if you don't play well, on a more negative scale more quickly. What's the expression from Bull Durham, Jay Stu, about being eccentric when you're in the minors?
About foot fungus.
Yes.
If you win 20 games in the show, then you're eccentric. If you lose, you're just a clown in bad fungus shoes or whatever.
Yeah, you got bad hygiene. You're a slop. Right? Which is the same thing for Caleb Williams. If you win, nobody cares. Literally, a people champion, everybody will start painting their nails in Chicago. Everybody start doing the Caleb Williams thing. Whatever touchdown celebration. But if you lose or you're not super successful early, it's the another Mitch Trubisky, California guy with the fingernail polish. He doesn't care. He's got money anyway. It can be used against you. This is a very different era we are entering into. We have had transfers before. Obviously, we've had players that have gotten paid before. We've had quarterbacks that have come from affluence before. We've had guys come from Lincoln Riley's system before. We've had quarterbacks that have been Heisman Trophy winners. We've had quarterbacks that have been Heisman Trophy winners and then not been as good the next year. All of this we've seen before. We have not seen all of these things together in this type of packaging, personality, and you're going to Chicago. It's a different deal. 2024 is the first year of the true NIL transfer quarterback. And if you don't think that changes how we look at things, I will give you one very, very easy analogy. I've used this analogy for the entirety of my time in radio, and it always works. Are you guys familiar? I know, does anybody get the newspaper anymore?
The physical paper?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Dan Beyer, any physical paper you get?
We somehow have gotten a subscription to USA Today because it's on my driveway every single morning.
It's amazing. Sam, when was the last time you got a newspaper in your driveway?
Oh, man. Okay. I mean, I subscribed to a digital paper, but I have not, probably a couple years at like an airport, I purchased a newspaper.
My mom still gets the Orange County Register and the LA Times, Orange County, okay? But in those papers, you may have remembered on the Sunday edition, they would have the Parade magazine. And on once a year in the Parade magazine, they would have what people make. And your entire perception of people changes based upon what Parade magazine said their field made in Dubuque, Iowa. You're like, well, what, you kidding me here? A librarian in Dubuque makes $75,000? Well, that's got to go a long way in Dubuque. Right? A postal worker in Cheyenne, Wyoming makes $125. And then you start thinking like, man, can you imagine the weather in Cheyenne? Wyoming? That goes a long way. How long? You don't have the factors of how long the guy's been at his job, how long he's been doing it, what else he does, whatever. But you read those magazines and you look at people differently. You're like, dude, the garbage man makes $100,000. I don't feel so bad for the garbage man. Like, that's not a bad gig. Plus you get full benefits. Or if the garbage man makes $40,000, you're like, dude, I feel really bad for him. I'm going to separate my trash. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to make sure. And for like a month, you line out your trash perfectly. We perceive people totally differently. We do it with athletes. Same guy can be on a rookie deal, signs his next deal. You're like, this guy's a bum. He's not worth $30 million. Well, last year he was only making $2 million and he was underpaid, right? I say that because it changes our perception of people. And then when you have money, one, everybody knows you have money. You're supposed to dress different, act different, walk different, talk different. Surround yourself with better, smarter, more forward-thinking people. You're going to be different once you get that first big check. Everybody is. You'll feel yourself a little bit. And then at some point, hopefully you have people around you that help level you off. Caleb Williams is the first, and because no one really knows how much he made at SC, but everybody believes that it's upwards of 8 figures over 2 years, he's walking in with a bunch of change in his pocket. He's walking in with a huge social media following. He's walking in with a perception, maybe not a reality, but perception of being just kind of a West Coast dude, unafraid to push the bounds of how we view sexuality as well as leadership and quarterback play, a guy who is literally irreverent. And he's going to a place that's in the Midwest, hardcore football. They've been dying for a quarterback. For 50 years, they've been dying for a quarterback. And you better deliver, dude. Otherwise, it's going to be a hard run for you. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Reminder, we have our podcast, which follows this show. Sometimes I forget, are we doing podcast or are we doing radio? Thank you, Sammy. Got Dan Beyer alongside. Beyer, most things, thing you're most excited about tonight's draft? Most excited about?
I just curious what the Seahawks are going to do.
Okay. Will they
it's
go
a weird way of looking at it, like of one thing. Like, I think we all just kind of like take it in. I mean, if you're a fan of your team.
Yeah, but you're a very big college
Am I wrong? Is that a weird question from Doug, Jason, or Sam?
I specifically wore my Chargers polo today because I'm fired up for the right tackle we're going to take at
but of course,
fifth overall, sixth
he's
overall.
Excited for the Chargers. I'm, you know, excited for the Seahawks, but I'm not like, man, is Malik Nabers going to, you know, like, I think you're cheering for your team, right? That's gotta be what it is.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I teed you up, and probably unfairly so, because I did think you probably wonder, I'm wondering aloud maybe, what the Seahawks are like. This is a whole new Seahawks regime.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is, so.
And I get it. Like, their storylines, like, where does Penix go? Where does Bo Nix go? Like, I don't, but you know, like, but I'm not like, man, where does Bo Nix go? I'm like, what are they going to trade down again? Now that Pete Carroll's not there, how different it is. So yeah. So I'm. Yeah, I don't even know if they're going to make a pick tonight, you know, to be honest with you, because there's been some, you could trade down twice in this draft and sure. pick up other picks because they don't have a second rounder. So I am Seahawks focused tonight, Doug.
Okay, good. Well, we'll go around the room. And by the way, a belated happy birthday to Brody, who celebrated
Thank
his
you.
Third birthday
yep,
yesterday.
Big
that
three.
Is a cute, cute kid. You do know, you have heard my thing about 3-year-olds are worse than 2-year-olds, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, finding that out.
Yes.
Well, he's a birthday guy.
What were you going to say there, Jay Stu?
The terrible twos, the only reason why that is the case is because of alliteration.
Yes.
If you could find alliteration with three, then it would become a thing. But terrible twos is just such an, you know.
Well, no, 2 years, 2 years old is a tough year, right? Because now they can talk, they can walk.
It probably isn't any tougher than one or three, but because you throw the alliteration in there, it's what makes Dodger dogs so amazing, because they're Dodger dogs.
Jason's obsessed with alliteration.
I
love it too.
I think he has a point. It's a portion of it, but a big portion of it is kids can be a-holes when they're two, right? It's they're not babies anymore, yet they're used to being. This actually is the kind of parallels to college athletes, right? You're not babied anymore, but they still want to be baby. They still, and they also learn the word no.
Yes.
That they can use the word no. And you're like, all right, what do I do here? He says no.
No.
Yeah, it's a hard one. But they're also like rookie. This is where I've always said, 2-year-olds are like rookie quarterbacks. You have limited expectations of them. You're like, ah, he's a rookie. Ah, he's 2 years old. Of course he pooped his pants. You're three, you poop your pants, right? When you've been in a big boy, big girl bed for, is he in a big boy, big girl bed yet?
Not
seen
yet.
A big girl bed yet?
Okay, but big boy, is he? Yeah. Are we trending towards that? Are we purchasing one of those? Where are we? On
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those convertible sort of.
Oh,
things.
Convertible thing, convertible yeah, crib, yeah. Smart purchase.
I hope you. I hope you brought. You have plenty of water for the next 365 days, because everyone knows about the thirsty threes. You got to keep them hydrated. Thirsty threes. They drink. They
My
most
point
water
has always been,
wife.
And Dan, even previous to him having a child. Knows that my point has always been, it's about your expectations, right? And they're still 3 years old. They still don't know anything. They still are just becoming potty trained, just getting to a big boy bed.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, your expectations of them are not the terrible twos because of alliteration, but also like you went through the terrible twos. Same thing with rookie quarterbacks. We give them a pass at times. We're like, ah, he's a rookie, right? Jordan Love's an example. Jordan Love was not a rookie this year. But because this is his first year starting, when they choke and he misses some throws against the Niners in the NFC playoffs, what'd you hear everybody say? Well, Jordan Love, you know, it's only his first year. It's his first road playoff game. Right? Next year, doesn't happen anymore. So Brody's got to come through in road playoff games. That's pretty obvious. That's a big thing for him this year, is how does he perform on the road in hostile environments? That's a big question I have for your son.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that'll elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from a full line of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. Be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires at a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
In this, I can dream about you. I can dream about you. And then who's this? Who is this? Who's the actual singer? This is the instrumental version. Anybody? Yes, Byron.
Is it Dan Hartman? Is that who it was?
You don't know? Science?
I don't know. Dan Hartman. It's Dan Hartman.
This is just one of the songs that has your name associated with it because you like it. So I'm playing it for you. I have never
heard it play as bumper music.
Really?
This has never been played on our show ever.
Your name is literally attached to this instrument.
Maybe you're looking at the Gottlieb folder.
I'm not calling you a liar.
Got milk,
I'm
got
just,
leaf.
I'm saying these things can both be true. I've done this show. I had started ESPN. My own show was 05, I think, or maybe 06. 06, I started at 4 o'clock. So it's been... it's been a minute. It's been 18 years in the afternoon time slot. This is the first time I've heard any instrumental played.
Yeah, we had this conversation recently. Like you brought a bunch of bumps with you to the show, and you know, and you have your preferences, and then Ramos mixed it in over the years. So I said to Sam, I said, why don't we mix in some of those old bumps that Doug brought? You know, he likes those.
I thought that's what it was.
But I think he went to the wrong folder.
No, I think Ramos maybe liked that song a lot.
That sounds like it. That's
a
Ramos era one. It's a little bit older than me. What's his name? Dan what?
Hartman.
Does he have any other songs?
Doesn't he host a show on weekends here?
Loves UCLA. UCLA. Dan Hartman.
Oh, that.
Dan Hartman. I had no idea.
I was today's
years old that I learned he was
Dan
Hartman.
Is our Steve Hartman more popular than CBS's Steve Hartman? CBS Sunday Morning, Steve Hartman.
Never watched it. What is it? Does he do the Sunday Morning show now?
He's the East Coast Steve Hartman.
No, he's the guy who does like the great stories. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're here in Western Nebraska. We're... time seems to stand still.
Ooh, can you do that again? Do you have any music for that?
Here's the deal. You don't need music for it because that's how CBS Sunday Morning goes.
Yeah.
But not for Zachariah Wilson.
That's so good.
Gets into the whole deal.
Yeah, so Sunday Morning starts out with CBS Sunday Morning. It ends up with like 2020 and Which is always the husband or wife did it, right? The ex-wife, the husband, wife did it almost always.
Poisoned.
Right? And I mean, and who's that guy? What's that guy's name? He's got the great kind of creepy sort of voice. It's really good.
Jay Moore used to do that voice.
That was Keith Morrison of Dateline.
Keith Morrison. Dateline.
Yes.
The murder guy.
Can you give me the? Can you give me a little Keith Morrison?
No, but okay. I could do it. I think it was Josh Mankiewicz would talk like this. So the murder weapon was in the bathroom.
Possibly.
Right?
Murder.
You know, like.
I love
quizzes.
This is Jay Moore does have a kind of a lugubrious sound, doesn't it? It's like he was involved in something he probably oughtn't to have done. Possibly murder.
That's really good. It's very, very good.
Actually had some Keith Morrison in the system.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That was my Mankiewicz.
Was that on the Gottlieb pile too?
keep that drop and then lose the Dan Hartman instrumental.
Is Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders? That's, I think, the big question, right? What happens at number two? Here's Jaden Daniels talking about the possibility of going to the Commanders after his much-reported visit with three other dudes before the draft.
It'll be fun. Be able to go there and just be blessed to really just fulfill my childhood dream, whoever that is, whatever team that is. So, you know, I'm happy.
How about the whole idea of the group visit? Some guys said they really, really liked it. Did you get a lot out of it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just have fun. It was the only visit I went to that wasn't really, you know, where you have to remember a play or, you know, try to remember an instar or something like that. So it was dope, and especially be with guys that I kind of knew throughout the process and before that. So it was fun.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's welcome in Steve Keim. He's a former general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, and of course, he selected quarterbacks in successive years in Josh Rosen and then Kyler Murray, who he took number one overall, and he joins us. How did you approach those visits with quarterbacks, especially subsequent years you did it? How did you approach it?
Well, Doug, I mean, I think that's a great question. I mean, number one, the biggest thing is the skill set is the easiest part to identify when you see that on tape. I think the biggest thing that you want to get out of the interview process, or at least I should say the in-person meeting process, is certainly to know more about the person, what makes them tick, what their mental makeup is, how they approach the game, the professionalism, those sort of things. And to me, at that position, that's so critical for any kind of success at the next level.
What was Rosen like?
You know, Josh was he's an intellectual guy. I mean, he really was. He's smart. Biggest problem, I think, maybe when you look back on it, is he had a lot of outside interests. And, you know, whether it was, you know, things with different organizations for, you know, saving the beaches and the different things that he believed in, which were very strong in the community. But at the same time, you know, the guys that you really, really, I think, are dying to have on your team as a leader are the ones who, you know, are trying to call the 7-7s, the off-season program stuff, the great leaders that are, you know, really there day in and day out in the off-season.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? But everybody warned you. Everybody said, like, really smart kid. But here was my thing with Rosen at the time, which was, and I got this from another GM who was looking at him when you drafted him, which was, you know, nowhere you call do people go like, Josh Rosen, I love that kid. I love him, right? No one disliked him. No one thought he wasn't talented and smart. None of it. And matter of fact, when you saw him against Sam Darnold against SC, like, he looked like the pro. Darnold did not, really. But that was kind of the MO, which was nobody, there was no true gravitational pull towards him. Fair?
Yeah, and I say that all the time. I mean, right now, I mean, as you look back on things and the mistakes that, you know, I have made or that I've seen people make in the NFL, is, you know, there are certain warning signs, and you just can't avoid the warning signs. You know, the red flags stick out like sore thumbs sometimes. And the problem is supply and demand is such an issue. You know, I drafted, or I should say my first year as a general manager in 2013, I traded a seventh-round pick for Carson Palmer. So in the next five successive seasons, we had over 50 wins in 5 years, two-time executive year. I thought I was pretty good at this thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Bruce Arians retires and Carson Palmer retires. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're in a position where, you know, you don't have a quarterback. And the quarterbacks that went before us, obviously with Baker and Josh Allen, et cetera, he was the next guy up. And, you know, obviously, if you look back on it now, everybody missed on Lamar.
Yep. I'll give you a full disclosure. I saw Lamar's last game in the bowl game against Mississippi State. He was awful. He's awful.
Yeah.
Right?
No, there were times when you studied Lamar coming out, I mean, you wondered whether the game would translate, because there were some times, yeah. To his credit, I mean, he has really become a much better pure passer than he was. I mean, he's gotten more accurate, which I think there's only a degree you can get more accurate at this level, but he has done a good job, and he's obviously played within the system, and they've done a great job, you know, using his feet and his legs and all the different things that he brings to the table. And the guy's just a winner. I mean, you can't, that's the one thing about J.J. McCarthy in tonight's draft. I mean, people can say all they want about the guy, but I mean, at the end of the day, the guy is a winner.
No question. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That voice is Steve Keim. You're going to hear him tonight starting at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, part of our coverage of the first round of the NFL draft. It's brought to you by ExpressPros.com. Okay, so that first year, your offensive line wasn't very good. You got a first-year head coach. I mean, it didn't work out well. When was the point where you're like, this is not going to work with my quarterback?
You know, I think it was probably midway through the year, because I think you remember Sam Bradford had gotten injured, and that gave us a great opportunity to see Josh play and to play a number of games. And regardless of the skill set and the talent that was around him, we were able to see the way he approached the game, his professionalism, all those things to me that make quarterbacks great at this level. And the fact that we had the number one pick, you know, and again, the biggest thing is as much as I loved Nick Bosa and Quinn Williams, you know, to have an opportunity to take a quarterback that I felt could propel organization the quickest, which he did. You know, you look back on it now, and Kyle's had some ups and downs, but at the same time, I don't know that Nick Bosa or Quinn Williams would have won us 11 games in year two of the time there.
Yeah. No, I mean, people dismiss the fact that you took a team that was the number one overall, had the number one overall pick, won four, then won 11, and obviously injuries befell him and your best wide receiver, and that changed you dramatically. What was different, or what was your approach like with Kyler as opposed to Josh? It's one year to the next. How'd you change? How'd you approach that draft pick?
Well, you know, I think number one, you know, making sure that everybody in the building was bought in, and they were. And number two, once we identified and decided that he was our guy, to make sure it was known, and not only for him, but the rest of the team, that Kyler Murray was going to be our guy moving forward, and to give him that confidence. When we roll the ball out there, like, this is your team. You know, regardless of the fact that you're a rookie, you have guys like Larry Fitzgerald on your side and as your teammates. And hopefully you use those guys, you know, to a degree with their experience and some of the things that they've been through. And hopefully that'll help you become a pro much quicker.
Cliff's a guy who you smartly hired because, in addition to being a good offensive coach, he had a relationship with Kyler, and Kyler knew his offense. So there wasn't as steep a learning curve as there is for so many rookies. In your mind, which of these quarterbacks fits best with Cliff? Because Cliff's going to be doing the same thing, granted as an assistant coach, but with the Washington Commanders.
Well, I mean, ideally, I think it would be the kid who's going to be the first pick in the draft because he's already coached him for a year at USC, but that's not going to happen. But, you know, I think Jaden Daniels would be a good fit. I think Jaden's a guy that has the wheels, that Cliff knows how to utilize those legs and his athleticism, as well as, you know, his ability, you know, in some ways, in my opinion, similar to the way Kyler threw the football. Nice stroke, very accurate. Get him out of the pocket, let him do some things on the move. And to me, I think Jaden Daniels is a guy who fits extremely well for what Cliff's going to ask him to do schematically.
It's going to be fascinating to see. Obviously, you saw him when he was in college at Arizona State before he went to. His improvement is dramatic. There have been criticism of how many sacks he takes, and why is how many sacks he takes important from an evaluator's eyes?
You know, I think number one, you got to, to me, in the NFL, the game becomes even quicker and the decisions have to become faster. So you have to not only have your feet to get you out of trouble, but you obviously have to use your brain to get rid of the ball in a quick fashion. And to me, you know, I think that, you know, when you're taking a lot of sacks, it's for a number of reasons. But sometimes those guys now, you see the more athletic quarterbacks, they put themselves in a predicament. Even with Caleb Williams and some of these guys, like Kyler Murray, they get to the point where they can almost improvise too much, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, where they get in bad habits because their feet can get them out of so much trouble that you know, that they're willing to take the extra chance, or they're willing to hold onto the ball a little more because they've been able to make things happen so much in the past. The problem is you get those kind of guys at times, and you're now playing behind the sticks so much because all of a sudden, instead of being in second and four or second and six, you're sitting back there in second and 12 or third and 14, and that's not the way you can win NFL football.
Nope. It's very, very hard to win that way. Steve Keim, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You mentioned J.J. McCarthy. You mentioned that he's a winner. There's no doubt about it. And he's playing a pro-style system, played for essentially a pro coach as well. How do you balance that out with the, man, they didn't even let him throw against Penn State, and just a lack of volume of throws in comparison to so many others?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt his, so to speak, his work and what you've been able to see on tape has not really probably been equal to a top 10 pick. Yet at the same time, you know, I know a lot of the scouts are, you know, have missed in the past on players like him. Number one, you were able to go see him in his pro workout, and from the people that I talked about that were there, showed much more athletic ability and arm strength than they anticipated. And then at the end of the day, you look at a team that just all they did was win. And the really, you know, when you look at Jim Harbaugh's offense, they won because they could run the ball effectively. And to me, that's the way the NFL is built, is to be able to operate at a high level within your offense. And I know that people call them system guys. I don't believe in system guys. To me, I think it's just, if you're not as twitchy or as talented, maybe you can identify that. There's very few Patrick Mahomes out there. But at the same time, you all have to operate within the system. And nobody did it better than J.J. McCarthy.
If Steve Keim was to write a book on approaching the NFL draft, and you've done it for so long, you know, going back to even scouting days before you became a GM, what's the number one do and the number one don't?
Well, the number one do is to trust your instincts. And as long as you can trust your gut and your instincts, and the don't is do not avoid red flags. And again, you know, you mentioned there were maybe some red flags with Josh Rosen. There was another guy that I drafted in the first round. I think he's like pick 26, named Robert Kimbichi. You know, Robert was a guy, I think we just won 14 games or 13 games the year before and went to the NFC Championship. So we were riding pretty high, and you know, we thought we needed a defensive tackle that was explosive. Robert Kimbichi was a guy who should have been a top five pick athletically. Sure. But again, there were several red flags there from his offseason, his work away from football, his passion, the different things that we studied. We felt like we tried to really dig deep with the player. Yet at the same time, there were enough red flags that we ignored them because of supply and demand. And again, when you get in a position where you're trying to, you don't have something, or I should say, particularly the quarterback position, you know, when we drafted Josh, I mean, supply and demand, it makes you do some crazy, crazy things. Because if you don't have that one position, it can make you do things that are not logical. And that's the hardest part to avoid.
Well, the Kimbichi thing, and again, I know there was some other stuff, but there was also the, you know, did he go to Ole Miss? He got paid to go to Ole Miss, right? And it does bring us to, you know, circling back around to the Caleb Williams thing, which is, this is a different generation, literally different, in that Caleb Williams walks in with likely seven figures in his bank account. Yeah. Right? I don't want to say he doesn't need football, but it's not the same hunger, passion, desire to make it that so many others previously to him have had. There's also social media. There's a lot of other things. How different do you think it makes these players, considering they were so handsomely compensated at the college level before getting to the NFL?
Well, I think there's a degree of it to make them less hungry, but I think the thing you got to sort of dive and figure out is really what sort of drives them regardless. I mean, you know, enough guys, and especially some of the pros that have made a ton of money, guys like Larry Fitzgerald that I've been around have made a gazillion dollars, but they did it because they loved it. And that's the key thing you got to figure out. You know, Robert Kimbichi was a guy who was funny, interesting story is we're in a draft process and we all love his talent and his ability. And I told our defensive line coach, I have some concerns, obviously. These red flags are a little scary. Certainly don't want to put my name on a player that doesn't love it. And I'll never never forget, he said, you know, this guy that can't do it or whatever, you know, he can live in my basement. Well, the next year, about a year later, that same defensive line coach walked into my office with Robert Cambici and said, I can't coach this guy. And I thought, what happened to your basement? Did it get flooded?
So funny. So funny. Steve, listen, you're an incredible asset to have. I can't wait to listen to your coverage tonight because it's so important, so timely, so insightful. Thanks so much for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Detroit's going to be rocking tonight, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that'll elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporting handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from a full line of Goodyear tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Goodyear test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. Be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires at a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're doing well. You're coming to you from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, hope you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, it's the way that tire buying should be. Welcome, 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 welcome in. So the draft is upon us tonight, right? And this is going to, they're all interesting ones. This one's going to be super interesting just because there's so many quarterbacks and people have all these opinions about quarterbacks. I think it's interesting how Michael Penix specifically and the kid's name from Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, how they've skyrocketed up boards because we saw them play in the national championship game. That's really what it comes down to. And there's this happens all the time. There's the, like, are they in the national championship game because they have a great quarterback, or do we think they're a great quarterback because they're in the national championship game? And that's a hard one. There's obviously much more on Michael Penix's plate than there was J.J. McCarthy's plate. But he also, J.J. McCarthy was learning a much more advanced scheme, and he had to sacrifice his ego to hand the ball off more. That part's fascinating. I could be the only one, but I loved the Heat's win last night. Now, what I didn't like about the Heat's win last night is inevitably every fall, everybody falls back on Heat culture. They even have it on their jerseys. It's like they have mastered the art of mind screwing you by thinking there's something special about their Heat culture. Because I didn't know Heat culture had anything to do with 23 of 43 from three. Did you? Like, I thought culture was about playing hard, playing together, doing the right things, etc. And they won the game because they shot the eyes out of the basketball and because the zone seemed to befuddle the Boston Celtics. And if you want to say that their stick-to-itiveness, their ability to believe, even though in the first game they were blown out, that's part of Heat culture, I'll go with that. I'll allow that, Your Honor. I'll allow that, Your Honor. But the reality is, okay, the reality is that they won because they did have five guys to play together. But they're like the old guys that showed up at the park, and you had a bunch of young, energetic dudes that if it's a one-on-one game, you got no shot. But that's not how basketball is played. And I think it's going to be fascinating because what you saw last night, what you see from Oklahoma City, frankly, you see it from the Denver Nuggets. I get that Jokic dominates the ball, but he dominates the ball and is a great facilitator as well. And that ball does, in fact, move. Yes, they get to a Jokic-Jamal Murray pick and roll, right? That's definitely their kind of go-to play. But there's a lot of other things that happen before that that set up them to get in that position where they put you in a bad spot. You got to pick your poison. Right? You're going to guard Jamal Murray, then if not, he hits the roller. If you're not going to guard Jamal Murray, he can go get a bucket. If you can't guard Jamal Murray, he's going to find Jokic. If you step up and help on Jokic, he's going to find the open guy because he's a great passer. But man, I mean, are you kidding me with the guys they threw out there last night? Let me read you the names, okay, of who played for the Heat last night against the Boston Celtics, who had the best record in the regular season. And we've told you before, regular season literally means nothing. Tyler Hero was the hero. He had 24 and 14. Bam had 21 and 10. And like, look, Bam's not a nobody. He played on Team USA. But Caleb Martin, Jaime Jaquez, and Nikola Jokic, those were their other three starters. And off the bench, Haywood Highsmith hit three threes. And Duncan Robinson, though he didn't shoot well, he hit two threes. And every time Duncan Robinson shoots the ball, if you're the opposing team, you hold your breath because you think it's going in. Even DeLon Wright, who was a lottery pick, bounced around the NBA, and one reason was not a great shooter. Even he came in and hit a three last night. And then, of course, they break out Kevin Love. You're like, dude, Kevin Love's still in the league? Yep. But, man, you step out in the court with some no-name dudes that just play hard and play together, find the open man and shoot threes, and it's like old dudes at the Y. We're like, no, we got this. We're going to run this court. And then you're sitting there after the game, and the old guys are still playing. You're not, and you can't figure out why. Yes, football is the world's greatest team sport. And yes, individuals can carry an NBA team. But it is a great team game. And when my five is better than your five, even though none of my, or maybe one of my five, is as good as your five by themselves, that's what makes the sport a beautiful thing. And, oh yeah, by the way, that's the essence of the three-point line. The two things that are equalizers in sports, in the sport of basketball, the zone defense and the three-point line. Right? Because the three-point line allows you, if you're not that big, you're not that strong, you can't go in there, you're not that athletic, you can't score in the sky, there's still a place for you here if you can make a shot from 25, 26 feet out. And the zone defense, though, not the pure zones we see in college or we'll see in Europe, they're still effective because, again, in and of itself, you can't guard these guys. You can't guard Jason Tatum one-on-one. But in a zone, you can. You can. I thought it was an amazing thing. And I still think the Celtics win the series. I still think the Celtics' overall talent is better. But in a one-game scenario, and look, what is the Princeton offense famous for? Yes, they have backdoor cuts. But the reason the backdoors are open is they used the three-point line and they played a lot of zone. And it's interesting, right? That style is designed for inferior talent. It's one of the things I often said when Jim Boeheim was at Syracuse. Like, I actually think, though, the zone worked for them in the NCAA tournament. One of the reasons it didn't work in the regular season was it's hard to set tempo when you're playing a zone or to play fast. And if you have better players, why would you play a zone and why would you play the way they played offensively? right? Athletic teams have tried to run Princeton before. It doesn't really work. Just like athletic teams, for the most part, have tried to play zone and to very limited success. If you're athletic, use that athleticism to your advantage. If you're not, well, we got a zone defense and we got other different ways, you know, double teaming, other different ways in which we can help you. And the other part of a zone defense is the true weakness of any zone is not necessarily the open shooting. It's the inside. Right? You're trying to hide the fact that we can't stop you at the rim, and Boston doesn't really have anybody who scores at the rim, you know, in terms of throwing it into the post. People ask all the time, like, why didn't people zone Purdue? That's because Zach Edey, now he has one guy who's standing underneath the hoop. He steps into, he just lays the ball in. It's too easy. It's actually easier to guard him in man than it was in zone. And I know NBA zones are different, but the idea is still the same. What Boston doesn't and can't really do is they can't really post up and score inside against the zone other than drives, and they don't have drivers. They have one-on-one shooters. Let's go to Dan. What do you think in terms of last night and watching that game?
I'll just say this, Doug, because I was doing birthday stuff. What I think was not surprising about this was that the Heat won a game in the series. I thought Boston would win. What was not surprising was that Miami was victorious. What I thought how it would play out would be Boston would win their first two at home. The Heat maybe win game three. And then Boston ends up saying, all right, we're going to put the clamps down game four, and then we'll close it out in game five. It's no shock to me that the Heat won a game. Was it surprising that I was in Boston? Yeah, a little bit. And then now, if you're Boston and you've got this thing that you talk about, Heat culture, on your mind, it becomes a little bit more of an issue. And then when you're starting to look at the benches, and do you want to match wits with Eric Spoelstra because it got you in trouble in game two? I think that the Celtics now, if you're a fan, are questioning that a little bit more. This just opened everything up. We had heard a lot of maybe Heat having the opportunity to, you know, Boston didn't want to face Miami because of the history and what was there. But truly, I felt Boston was going to be the better team and going to be the better team in the series. But now what a game two win in Boston does for the Heat is it opens up all of these cracks that you felt maybe could have been there. And now it's just up to your star players. It's up to Jason Tatum and it's up to Jaylen Brown to make sure that that doesn't happen in Miami. And that was my takeaway from, again, I would have loved to have watched the game, but it just didn't happen last night.
It's okay.
But as an overall sort of thing, that would be my feel from the series.
Okay, Sam, what do you think?
You shoot that hot from three, yeah, you'll win, but kind of an aberration.
I think that's most people's assessment. And I generally think that way. And I think because Jimmy's very unlikely to return, this is my takeaway from last night, and it's my takeaway from the Dallas game. Was that last night or the night before? Dallas Clippers. I'm screwed up in my nights.
That was night before, Tuesday night.
Right? It's the, I don't want to get in a game seven with Miami, not just because the whole Heat culture thing, but because they got a shooter's chance. It's you know what it's like? And the Dallas game, it's the same thing. It's like, Luka, okay? Luka gives you a chance to win any game. He's that good, and he's played in those situations, right? And there's just a, like, Luka can get his shot off, it feels like, against anybody. So I look at the Celtics, I look at the Clippers as both, don't play with fire here. You can lose a home game and go back and win back home court advantage. I don't want to get into a game seven with the Miami Heat because they were in the finals last year and they got a shooter's chance. And I don't want to get into game seven with the Dallas Mavericks because they have Luka and they have Kyrie. And you know what? End of those series, dudes are tired. Sometimes just a star steps up and makes plays. So, yeah. That's my take on last night.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.